Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Well, it's kind of weird. Mother Nature froze us, and then she warmed things up a little bit.
Yeah, that was crazy. I think it was back on Tuesday after that windstorm, like 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was back to T-shirt weather, and then I think we're about to get froze out again.
Good. So, I am done. I am a four-season person. I am done with warm weather.
You're ready for it, huh? For sure. Well, I can. I could definitely take a little bit of that. It was funny. We went back to Minneapolis last week, and it was actually nicer back there during when you guys had all that bad, you know, rain and wind and everything. And so there's been weird weather across the country, but yeah, it's probably time for the temperature to dip down a little bit and stay down, I think.
Yeah, so. The trees are going to get confused.
Well, and like always, we're always looking at the fact, and I'm sure the kids are looking ahead and saying, how cold is it going to be for trick-or-treating?
Yeah, well, me too, because I take our daughter Harley, and, you know, every now and then I get lucky and somebody at a house hands me a beer can.
No, that's actually happened. There you go, trick-or-treating for adults. Fantastic. So everybody heading out for that, definitely be safe with this next week. But that does take me right into what we always like to start out with, our crazy celebrity real estate story. Mm-hmm. And this week I tried to find a Halloween real estate story. And sure enough, there is a storybook cottage in Beverly Hills. It was once the site of a 1920s film festival that was out in Culver City. And it was actually the Willett Silent Film Studio. And so what had happened is the owner had originally commissioned the house to make it look like a sagging witch's hat with a pitched roof. And it kind of had the really dark shingles, making it look kind of like that dilapidated gingerbread slanted roof house. Like, if you see the pictures of this thing, if you type in the witch's house, Beverly Hills, I mean, it literally looks like it's about to be condemned because it's falling down, but it's not. It was built that way. And in actuality, in 97, the house went up on the market. A real estate agent who grew up in Beverly Hills loved the structure, put the house up on the market, but then learned all the bidders on the property were planning to tear it down for the land value. And he loved it so much, he ended up purchasing it himself so that it wouldn't be torn down.
Oh.
And then he went ahead and he worked with a Hollywood art director, completely restored the property, and has it absolutely back to its original, like, Hansel and Gretel type style. For Halloween, the last couple of years, he's had up to 4,000 trick-or-treaters.
Wow.
Come by the house. So totally a sight to be seen. Now, there are a couple houses in my neighborhood in Richland that I think are also potentially a witch's house, McKay. I mean, I've seen some people kind of going all out for the Halloween decorations out there.
Well, I think it's great. Well, there's a guy up in South Kennewick where we always go, and we call it the Chainsaw House.
Okay, he's all in on it.
Yep, he's got dry ice, smoke, and everything, and then he runs around the yard dressed like, you know, with a chainsaw.
Absolutely. Well, back to some local real estate now that we are out of our crazy, scary Halloween houses. This is the time of year where I always like to dig into. It's really, really interesting. Once a year, Zillow publishes and produces, and arguably, love them or hate them, Zillow probably has the most amount of data available. Mm-hmm. And they spend millions of dollars analyzing that data. And so what they have available now is they've released, they have a 2019 Consumer Housing Trends Report, which is made up over surveying over 10,000 participants across the nation. And so what it does is it kind of gives us a look at what's typical and what's going on with buyers in the current market. So it's really interesting. They compiled all of that data, and we talked about this in our sales meeting earlier this week, and they came up with who the typical buyer is right now across the board in the U.S. The typical buyer is 43 years old. 43% of the typical buyers have at least a college graduate degree or higher. 65% are married or partnered with a significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And 49% of buyers live with children under the age of 18 years old. So, it was interesting because the age was a little higher than I thought it would be. Since we had talked earlier about millennials being the highest, the largest amount of group purchasing. But what really started to shock me, and we're going to talk a little bit about those trends, because the millennial generation still represented, and that's age 25 to 39, represents the largest buying block. 39% of buyers falling into that millennial buying range. And what's crazy is that 45% of all buyers in the market are first-time home buyers.
Wow.
So not only do we have that millennial group gobbling up the largest chunk of inventory, they are driving it to the point where almost half of our sales are by millennial buyers. So 45% of all buyers are first-time home buyers, and 63% of that first-time group are millennials. So definitely driving the bus in the marketplace. And so we're going to start to see some trends evolve from that type of buyer. And one of those trends is when we look at what is the typical home purchased. Typical home purchased is three bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And now I'm reading this exactly as it was printed, so please don't call me and ask me how this is possible. But is three beds, 2.2 bath. Now, folks, I'm not making up a 0.2 bath. I know you know what a half bath is.
Yeah.
This is a statistical average. So a lot of those houses are probably 2.5 baths. Some are three, a lot are two. So the average is much closer to two at 2.2. 2,000 square feet and a median price of $229,000. 77% of those purchases, single-family detached houses. So not a large contingent being the alternative being a duplex or a townhouse or a condo. But 77% of those being detached single-family. Now, I will tell you, I was a little surprised by that pricing at $229,000. But we are also in a market that, as in the past, I would say 5 years ago, people would say traditionally we're moving to the Tri-Cities because it has a lower cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at housing, that's not as accurate as a statement. So what I did, I reverse engineered those stats for our local market. So I went into our MLS over the last 6 months and I put in three bed, two bath, 1,900 to 2,100 square feet so that I could get a median price in Tri-Cities for what the average buyer is purchasing. great for sellers out there and great for people with equity, but not as great on the buy side. The median price of that home in Tri-Cities, $324,900.
Wow.
Almost $100,000 over the median when we're looking at the national average.
Wow.
Now, you have to look, though. We're also looking at markets all throughout the Midwest, much cheaper land prices, states with lower cost of living. So, but it was really interesting to kind of reverse engineer that, bring that back to our local market and say, you know, and that's one of the things we've talked about on the show before, is that it's a struggle for first-time home buyers in this market to find a house that met those needs and was on budget. Speaking of budget, another big focus of the report. So I want to talk a little bit about the mortgage process here in relation to some of the stats in this report. And the first thing that I wrote down is what it requires to stay on budget. So when we look at that, the report goes over a lot of budget. Over the last year, we look at how many people stayed on budget in their house hunting search. 55% stayed on budget. 26% spent more than their initial budget. So nearly a quarter of home shoppers spent more than their initial budget. I went over some of the reasons of this, and I jotted down some notes on some real life scenarios, things that I see happen and how this becomes possible. It is so important to go out and get pre-approved.
Yeah.
Because what can happen is if you don't get pre-approved, you don't know what your upper limit is based upon what you can financially handle and your credit score, you are going to come across what I call unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
A perfect example that we've seen of this that I've seen happen in the last 30 days on our team is a younger couple was out shopping for a house. They were approved for 225. First-time homebuyers approved for 225. They looked at 25 houses with one of our buyer's agents.
Wow.
Narrowed it down, found the absolute best house for that price range. Looked at it, were about to make an offer, and they said, you know what? I tell you what, my parents want to just come by and check it out. They just want to take a look at it, check it out.
Okay.
You know, it's our first house. Make sure we don't make any mistakes. Parents come, look at the house, and absolutely go into stage 5 meltdown on my agent and said, this house is complete garbage. I can't believe it's 225. You are trying to take advantage of my daughter. And you should be ashamed of yourself as an agent. And the agent came back to my office and was like, Lance, oh my gosh, I just got reamed out. And I'm like, look, everybody goes through that in that scenario. They're like, well, what do you think I should do? And I said, well, tell me this. Did the parents see any of the other 25 houses that you had shown the kids? Well, no, they just came to the final one. They wanted them to narrow it down, came to the final one. I said, great. I'll tell you what, call them back. Meet with the parents, offer to take them to all 25 houses that you showed the kids. Go show them what's out there for 225, and then make a decision. They went out the next 2 days. They involved them in the situation. They took around. They looked at 25 houses. At the end of the tour, they said, you know what? We had no idea what this market was like.
Wow.
You are right. I thought the house you showed us was bad. The other 24 you showed us were awful in comparison to the one you had picked out for them. Now, of course, they wanted different things. It's their kid, right? People naturally want the best thing for their kid. They're like, what we thought they were going to get and what I had in my mind they wanted to get was what I've now seen you've shown me is 260.
Yeah.
And so my agent's like, well, do you want to give them the other 40 grand? to get the 260. And they're like, no, I love the house you picked out for him. They ended up back at the house. They got the one under contract that they had originally picked out.
That's good.
But see, they were coming into a process late to mm-hmm. where they had lacked that education of touring the houses with the agents.
They didn't know.
But it would be very, very easy, and where I bring this back to this report, it would be very, very easy to get caught up in that, not knowing what your budget is, not being pre-approved, and have unrealistic expectations for what you're going to get. Wow. For your pre-approval amount. In fact, the survey went on to say, what sacrifices did people have to make to stay within budget? The number one answer at 18% was they did not get the desired finishes they had initially planned on getting. And so you really have to sit down with your agent, know what your budget is, set some hard targets for what you're not willing to go above, mm-hmm. and then put that game plan together and go out and execute. But it takes some education, it takes some knowledge, and putting you in front of the right professionals.
Exactly.
When we come back, we're looking at the Consumer Housing Trends Report for 2019 and how it relates to the local Tri-Cities market. We'll dig into some more of those expectations after our break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been digging into a recent report released by Zillow, the Consumer Housing Trend Report for 2019, and kind of just getting a little bit of some profiling of the buyers out there, what buyers are seeing, mm-hmm. What buyers are saying about their purchases, and some of the things that become really important to them. Before we jump into a little bit more of that data, though, I always like to get our pick three in for, and that is new inventory that's on the market. There's still plenty of time to get people into homes before the holiday season, especially before Christmas. People writing contracts right now, depending on the financing and where you're at. We're still writing a couple of them prior to Thanksgiving. And if there is VA or some additional requirements, those are closing in early December. So plenty of time to come check out some property. Rates are still crazy low right now with interest rates. I was looking at an interest rate chart and seeing how fast the 30-year mortgages dropped. Mm-hmm. We have not seen a valley like this since probably it was 2016 mm-hmm. was the last time we had seen rates get down that low. So, I mean, we're talking just above the mid threes. So very, you know, very, very competitive. Pick number one, 3607 South Green Street. This is in Canyon Lakes. This is an awesome three-bedroom, three-bath Rambler. So 2345 square feet, all on one level, gorgeous tile flooring, formal dining room, awesome layout with a large living room that has a corner gas fireplace. So when it starts freezing later this week, you can be warm in that all winter. Mm-hmm. Large kitchen with tile flooring, kitchen island, tons of storage space in that kitchen. Private master suite, has a walk-through closet, a dual sink vanity, a soaking tub, and a separate shower. Lots of built-in shelving, then a huge three-car garage. So that's right close to the golf course, parks, shopping. That's coming in at $399,900. Wow. And that is a super competitive price point to get into Canyon Lakes. And that is ready to show anytime. Pick number two, 6719 West Arrowhead in Kennewick. This is an awesome, awesome location. Three bedroom, two bath, West Kennewick house, 1476 square feet. move-in ready, large living room, modern colors, updated kitchen with granite counters, French doors out to the full-length deck, lower level has a family room, wood fireplace, newer roof, updated windows. I mean, they've gone through and just knocked this place out, totally upgraded. Outside, you've got RV toy parking as well with a double gate in the front, so easy access to the backyard. And that's priced right at that price point, $255,500. So great, great price point. And then pick number three. If you are first-time home buyer, entry-level investor, you've been looking for a property that you can affordably get into, 526 South 40th in West Richland. This is a completely updated two-bedroom, one-bath, ground-level condo in West Richland at Park West Condos. Just under 800 square feet, great room concept, spacious living room with large kitchen. You got granite tile counters, stainless steel appliances, large granite top vanity in the bath, awesome roomy bedrooms, and you have stackable washer dryer in there. All in the condo, you've got HOA dues, so you've got Carefree Living, because HOA covers water, sewer, garbage, parking lot, snow removal, landscaping.
Wow.
All that's going to be covered in your HOA. And that's priced at $165,000. So if you've thought, hey, I'm priced out of the single family homes, we talked about that survey before this. We said that 77% of the homes were single family detached. This condo is in that other 23%. And so we also talked about median home prices at $230,000. You can get into a condo like this early at 165, start building equity sooner than you thought you were able to. So that's our pick three, folks. We've got some great, great new inventory coming onto the market. A lot of people think, I mean, the weather's been fantastic. McKay, we talked about it. I know you're ready for it to freeze and be cold.
Yes, I am.
But we really had an extra month of great weather here where we were able to get a lot of things under contract, get a lot of homes listed. So with interest rates being so low and inventory choices increasing slightly, good, good time. If you were out of the market as a buyer, great time to jump back in and be taking a look at this stuff. So before the break, we talked a little bit about some of the survey questions. What was some of the things that came out of this survey that was interesting to note on how buyers were shopping, what they were doing to educate themselves? So the next line of stats from this report that I wanted to go over, and that is buyers took, on average, 4.5 months to search for their home. And so that's from the process of when they first started thinking about it. And where do they do a lot of that searching? Online. We're not talking maybe 4.5 months with their agent. We're talking from, you know, maybe they first went to Zillow. Maybe they went to kenmoreteam.com, which gives you access to all of those listings in our market. And maybe they were searching on HomeLight or other sites that are out there. So that span and that process, around 4.5 months. They generally then, once they start working with their agent, will go out on average 4.4 times. So they'll go out with their agent for, you know, on four tours, look at different houses and compare. And then I was glad to see, although this number was still slightly lower than I thought it would be, 83% of those buyers had an inspection contingency in their offer. I honestly thought it would be a little bit higher. But we're talking about an average, and so we're looking across the nation where there's some super competitive markets. I'm thinking like Phoenix, Vegas. A lot of those markets are still very, very competitive. And in those markets, combined with probably new construction where a builder may not allow it, that's where we're getting that 17% not doing home inspections. So people still potentially having to waive a home inspection. Very, very rare in this market. We do not recommend it. But I was surprised to see that 17% of those offers did not have an inspection.
Wow. Now, you said some builders won't allow it?
Yeah, there are. So in some of the really, really in the bigger cities, I network with a lot of these agents in other cities. And there are some national builders that that won't allow home inspections. They'll allow the county to do the building inspection.
Oh, okay.
They'll allow their quality people to go through and do the inspections, but they actually will not allow the buyer to do a private home inspection. It's a weird stance. I don't know of anybody here locally in Tri-Cities that that does that. There are a couple builders locally that will allow the home inspection, but not be bound to those results. Mm. Meaning they, a lot of people feel that, you know, it's a difference of opinion. And some builders are very, very particular about how they've done things. They think it's the right way they've done it, regardless of what the home inspector thinks. So that's something you have to navigate between yourself, your agent, your inspector, and your builder to decide what's right for you. Like I was saying, our market's not crazy enough, and we haven't had any crazy, outlandish things like not allowing home inspections here locally. But there are, in these bigger markets, some national builders that's the stance that they take. And so, you know, it's a risk that you're going after in those in those situations. Going down the resources that buyers used, really important to note. I love this because we've made some changes to really take advantage of this. So it's now up to 26% of buyers prefer 3D tours to in-person viewing. So a lot of people come to me and say, geez, Lance, we've been on the market for 2 weeks, but we've only had five showings. So a lot of times what I end up doing is I'll pull out the stats and I'll say, you've had five showings in person, but you've had 48 people walk through the three-dimensional tour. And then of that, so you've got of that grouping, when we break it down any lower to Gen Z, so Generation Z, and millennials. Now, mind you, for those out there thinking through the explanation of that, millennials are currently aged 25 to 39. Generation Z right now, 18 to 24. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, representing, we talked about 63% of all first-time home buyers. 46% of those buyers wish more listings had 3D tours available. Hmm. So we've taken, you know, a massive step forward. We've invested a lot of money into our 3D Matterport camera. So we not only do we have still pictures of the property that we load and put on social media to all the websites, but we actually now spend between 3 to 4 hours scanning each house and building a three-dimensional floor plan that you can actually walk through from room to room, see all the different angles, turn around. Cool. So you can go to our website, kenmoreteam.com. You can click on that. And so we are running just a massive amount of those 3D tours online because we know for our sellers that the largest block of buyers is demanding this with their listing. So it's a big expense, a big investment. We're actually running multiple of those cameras now because we found the demand to be so high for that. So if
those
you
are cool.
They're super cool. It is very time intensive, though, because you can't have any movement because it's doing a three-dimensional, a very slow scan where the camera scans, takes all the, you know, thousands of measurements. Mm-hmm. So for people that have pets, we actually have to have them have the pets and the kids out of the house because while it's scanning, you can't have like a dog or cat run through the frame because it messes up how it gets stitched together. So,
wow.
So there's a learning curve. There's some rules. There's a science behind it. And kudos to my listing team. Tara and Heather on our team are just absolutely experts, top notch on this. I would be shocked to find even a professional photographer locally that's done more of those scans than they have. And so there's an art form for it. We love doing it. It really, really showcases the properties well.
So if the dog or cat runs through it, does it look like a ghost or something like a poltergeist?
It's so messed up. Like you see weird frames. Like you'll see, like, you know, like when they try to blotch out somebody's face.
Oh,
it's like a streak across the picture, and it's so bad.
Is this house haunted?
Yeah. Happy Halloween. Here we go. There's the haunted ghost in the house. Last thing that I wanted to get to, which I found just shocking about this, is a little bit of buyer's remorse that happens in the purchasing process. Younger generations are more likely to have regrets in the home buying process. Gen X, so when I look at that for my generation, when we purchase a property, we're only 63% likely to have regrets about that decision and what we purchase. Gen Z, our youngest, 18 to 24, that are starting to purchase now, 82% of those buyers have regrets about what they decided to purchase.
Wow.
Now, I'm not a psychologist. Maybe I should have had a psychologist on the show today, but that's a big number.
Yeah,
and I was really shocked about that. So we had a talk on our team. We kind of analyzed this data, and we just talked about, you know, it being such a large purchase and really taking the time to explain those items to our first-time homebuyers. 24% of the buyers in the survey said they signed things during the process that they did not know what they were signing, nor did they understand. And we just thought on our team that was kind of a travesty. And we went through the survey results. We did some training and just recommitted to make sure when you come work with us at the Kenmore team, we want to use this information to make sure those things don't happen to you in your home buying process. So
yeah,
just I thought it was great data to present to the public as a whole. It was extremely insightful to our team from a training perspective and how we can better serve those buyers out there. If you are looking, if you've had those problems and you've gone out of the market, go to kenmoreteam.com. Give us a call if you have any questions. We had a number of amazing referrals from the radio and listeners of the show over the last couple of weeks. So we would love to help you out with those situations and that search. So that's kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. Have a great, safe Halloween, and we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870. Boom.